But when we move, start moving towards Rosh Hashanah, the stakes start getting higher. It's not enough for us to talk about the Yontif in an abstract way. We have to come out with something practical. We have to know how to get into Rosh Hashanah, what we're supposed to do. The stakes are very, very high this time of year. If we wouldn't do it every year, it would bother us very much that we have a day of judgment and then we have days of tshuva afterwards. We just got used to that, but the truth is, it sounds almost absurd. We should have 10 days of tshuva and then we should have a day of judgment. And we'll get back to this in the end. I think that a little bit defines what we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah, this question. We ask Hashem on Rosh Hashanah a request that almost seems to put Hashem down. We say, Hashem, Zachreinu b'zikarein tayv lefanecha. Remember us well. Now, 1 second. Hashem's going to remember us. If we did well, He'll remember us well. If we didn't do well, He will not remember us well. How do we tell a person, remember the good things? We tell it to a person. What do we mean when we tell Hashem, remember the good things? Are we telling Him to be dishonest? Are we telling Him to... Like, what exactly are we telling Him? We say, Zachreinu b'zikarein tayv lefanecha. Remember us with a good... Reminisce about the good times. Like, what does that mean exactly? We say a similar thing in the weekday Shema Nesri every day. We say v'tzadkenu b'mishpat. Hashem should make us righteous. Hashem should be mezakas in din. You go to a judge and you say, please make me right. That's not honest. If it's a judgment, so then you can't ask Hashem to make us right in judgment. Are we right or are we wrong? Are we zakai or are we chayv? How do we ask Hashem to make us zakai? V'tzadkenu b'mishpat. The pasuk says, V'tzdiku es ha-tzadik. Bezdin has to make the tzadik into a tzadik. V'yishiyu es ha-rasha. And they have to establish that the rasha is a rasha. And we stand in front of Hashem and we say, but Hashem, regardless of what I am, V'tzadkenu b'mishpat, make me into a tzadik. How do we do that? It's dishonest. The Gemara says that Yosef HaTzadik came out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Yosef came out of prison. When Yosef was in prison and the Sar HaOifen and the Sar HaMashkim had their dreams, and eventually 2 years later, Paray had his dreams, and the Sar HaMashkim remembered Yosef's dream, remembered his own dreams, and he told it to Paray, and Paray got him taken out of the pit. And within a very short time, Yosef HaTzadik went from being an Eved, from being a servant, to being a Melech, in a very short few minutes. And that happened on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says. And we know there's no coincidences. If that happened on Rosh Hashanah, it means there's some clue in that incident about the essence of Rosh Hashanah. More than that, the Gemara learns it from a pasuk that we say every Thursday. We say, Tiku b'chayde shayfer b'kesel yom chageinu, which is by Rosh Hashanah, to blow shayfer on Rosh Hashanah. And then the next pasuk is, Eidos b'yahoyseif. We start talking about Yosef HaTzadik. B'tzeisai al Eretz Mitzrayim, Svas lo yodati eshma. We start talking about Yosef HaTzadik. So the Gemara says that we see there's a connection between blowing shofar and Yosef HaTzadik coming out of prison. And that's how we know that he came out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. So if you read that carefully, that means that it's not just that there's a connection between Yosef coming out of prison and Rosh Hashanah, but there's a connection between Yosef coming out of prison and blowing the shofar. Because the pasuk that we connected to is Tiku b'chay de shofar, blow shofar. So there's a specific connection between Yosef HaTzadik coming out of prison and blowing shofar. What's that connection? There's two opposing concepts in Judaism. One is that when someone does an Avera, he should try to do tshuva with this that he did the Avera. So if someone did an Avera, let's say, with his hands, so he should try to do mitzvahs with his hands. If somebody did an Avera with his money, so he should try to do mitzvahs with his money. If someone did an Avera with his ears, if someone listened to Lashon Hara, let's say, so he should try to listen to Divrei Torah. He should try to do mitzvahs with his ears. The aver shabai chata, the aver with which he did the aver, but yaseh tshuva, with that he should do tshuva. That's one concept in Judaism. There's an opposite concept in Judaism. And that concept is ein kateger nasas aneger. A prosecutor can't come to my defense. So that means that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can't go into the Kodesh HaKodashim with golden clothing, with his gold clothing, because gold will remind Hashem of the Egel, of the golden calf. And ein kateger yasas aneger. And similarly, we find in a lot of areas that the thing that you did the Avera with, you don't want to use when you're doing tshuva, because it will remind Hashem of the Avera. So that seems to be two contradictory concepts. One is that you should dafka use the thing you did the Avera with to do tshuva, and one is that you should dafka not use the thing you did the Avera with to do tshuva. So the Gemara resolves this contradiction by saying it depends where. Usually you should use it. The general concept is that you should use it. But when you're going into the Kodesh HaKodashim, when you're getting that close, that intimate with HaKodesh Baruch Hu, lefnai v'lefnim, you should not do it. So, Lamashal, every single day of the year, the Kohen Gadol did serve Hashem with gold clothing. But Yom Kippur, which is the day that he went further inside, into the Kodesh HaKodashim, so then he would put on his white clothing. The problem is the Shofar. The shofar, it says in the Gemara, one of the reasons you're not allowed to use the shofar of a cow is because the golden calf was a cow. And ein kateger yasas aneger. We don't want to blow a shofar, which is going to remind Hashem, oh, the shofar of a parah, I remember a cow. We don't want Hashem to do that. So therefore, we don't use the shofar of a cow. So the Gemara asks, one second, that's not in the Kodesh HaKodashim. We blow shofar and shul. We blow shofar and shul. We should do the other. We should dafka use the shofar of a cow. With the thing that you did the aveira, with that you should do tshuva. So the Gemara says, shofar, very cryptic words. Kivon delezikaren ka'asi, since it comes, so Hashem should remember, it's for remembrance, kilefnim dami. It's like it's in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Since it's for Zikaron, it's like it's in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Why? What does one thing have to do with the other? What does remembrance have to do with the Kodesh HaKodashim? Now this question, I think, blows the whole Inyan of the Shofar open for us. Let's jump to Parshas Truma. In Parshas Truma, is when we're commanded to build a Mishkan, and all the materials, gold, silver, copper, all the hides and the wools and all the different things that we need to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem sums up that commandment in one sentence. Ba'asu li mikdash, they should make for me a mikdash, a holy place, b'shachanti b'saychem, and I will dwell amongst them. So all the Svarim say, you should make a holy place, it should say, and I will dwell in it. Make me a house and I'll live in it. It doesn't say that. It says, make me a mikdash and I will dwell in them. So we understand from there that making a Beis HaMikdash is like a key, not just to bring Hashem into the Beis HaMikdash, but to bring Hashem into our hearts. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'saychem, I will dwell within them, within every Jew. And from there, the Mefarshim understand that there's a parallel between the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and the structure of a person. And there are parallels between them. I'll give one example, that we know that there's three parts to a person. A person has his neshama, his seichel. A person has his heart. That's the part of him that he serves Hashem with, u'la'avdei b'chol levavchem, his heart. And a person has his body, his guf, that he eats, he needs to take care of, he sleeps, that he does things with. In the main room in the Mishkan were three kelim. There was the menorah, which represents the neshama. Kiner Hashem nishmas adam, right? The ner always represents the neshama. There was the mizbeach, which was what we serve Hashem with. That represents the heart. We bring karbanis on there. We become close to Hashem by putting things on the mizbeach. That represents the heart. And there was the shulchan, where they put food on, and that represents the body. So just like a person has a seichel, a lev, and a guf, so to the kodesh has a menorah, a mizbeach, and a shulchan. Now, what does the shofar do? Famous Rambam. What the shofar does is the shofar, the Rambam says, remez yeshba, it has a, there's a remez, what the shofar does. Kalaymar, it's as if the shofar is saying, when we blow that shofar, it's as if it's saying, Uru yishena mishinaschem, wake up, sleeping people, from your sleep. V'nirdamim etar demaschem, and slumbering people from your slumber. Wake up, it wakes a person up. We get lost in the distractions of the day-to-day life, of the regular challenges and tribulations of life, and the shofar tells us to wake up. So let's examine that for a minute. When someone is sleeping, they're out cold, they're not with us. It's the impression of life. The impression is there, but alive they're not. Right? Sleep is a percentage of death. Their neshama is not with us. But there's the roshim, there's the impression of life. The impression that this person is a live person is still there. And the shofar says, Uru yishena mishinaschem, wake up from your sleep. The shofar, in the words of the Mefarshim, brings to life sleeping impressions. The impressions that are inside a person, that lie dormant, that contain that tremendous madrega, those impressions are, the shofar has the power to arouse, to wake up. Uru yishena, wake up. So if the shofar has the power to wake up impressions that are sleeping, we start to understand exactly what's going on. We have that part of us, that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's Lefnim, it's deep inside. Why is it there? Because it's impressions of a day long gone. It's the impressions of an Adam Rishon who was on a tremendously high Madrega. And those impressions are there, they're sleeping, but they're there. And when we blow the shofar, Kivan de la zikaron kasi, since the shofar comes to remind us, it's for remembrance, it brings back the old memory. It awakens that Kodesh HaKadoshim inside of us. It awakens that part of us that never wanted to do any averus. It awakens that part of us that truly, truly, truly wants to serve Hashem. That's what the shofar accomplishes. It's as if we're sleeping now. Because that Kodesh HaKadoshim part of us is sleeping. That part of us that only wants to serve Hashem, we're not in touch with on a day-to-day basis. But the shofar says, Uru yishena mishinaschem, wake up from your sleep. It wakes up those sleeping parts of us. So that part that's kulay kadosh, that's kulay tar, that's completely pure, wakes up on Rosh Hashanah. That's the part of us that's like the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, since the klal of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that when you get that that deep in, then you can no longer use things that you did for an Avera. You can no longer use when you're doing tshuva, because it's too deep in. Kivan de lezikaron kasi, since the shofar comes to bring out that deep lefnai v'lefnim, that Kodesh HaKadoshim inside of us, ki lefnim dami. It's like we blow shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because the shofar, if there's a Beis HaMikdash with a Kodesh and a Kodesh HaKadoshim, then a man also has a Kodesh and a Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if the shofar awakens the Kodesh HaKadoshim in man, then it parallels to the halachas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash. And just like the Kohen Gadol couldn't bring gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash, we can't use the shofar of a cow on Rosh Hashanah. When someone's a slave, all the things about him his talents, his ideas, his plans, his dreams are all there. They're just constricted. They're being tied down. Someone's a slave, he's being controlled. All the depth, all the creativity, all the kaiches that this person has is all there. But it's being controlled. Yad acherim, all of it's being controlled by others. And when the person who's a slave is freed, so all that life that was hidden under that controlled circumstance comes to the surface. Yosef HaTzadik was freed on Rosh Hashanah because Rosh Hashanah is about all that life that's under the surface, that's being controlled by the Yetzer Hara, by the daily life, by the trials of life, by the difficulties of life. All those things, we're like slaves to our Yetzer Hara. And Rosh Hashanah is the day that Lezikaron Kasi, we delve a little deeper. That deeper part of us, our true creativity and goals and desires and plans for ourselves can break out, come to the surface. We can restore our rulership over ourselves. Our own identity, not being controlled by Yetzer Hara, but being controlled by ourselves. So that's what the Gemara says, that Yosef HaTzadik was freed from prison on Rosh Hashanah, because that's what Rosh Hashanah is, it's freedom from prison. So when we ask Hashem to remember us for the good, we ask Hashem to make us righteous in judgment, what we're saying is, Hashem, part of me, the simple part of me, wanted to do Averis. But there's a deeper part of me that never ever wanted to do this and was forced into it. And it's completely pure, completely focused, completely attached to you. And right now, I'm identifying with that part of myself. That's the part of myself I feel a connection to. So, Zachreinu b'zikaron tayv lefanecha. Remember me, remember the tayv in me. Remember the part of me that's completely good. Don't focus on the part of me that I'm not identifying with now. Focus on the part of me that I'm connecting with now. V'tzadkeinu b'mishpat. Make me righteous in judgment. It's a proper judgment, because if I identify, if I connect, if I see eye to eye with the part of myself that never wanted to do an Avera, if that's the me that's talking now, so then I'm a tzaddik. Our job is to make that the me, is to connect with that part of ourselves that's not interested in this crazy life of fighting with the Yetzer Hara, the part of me that just wants to be close to Hashem. But as soon as we can connect to that part of ourselves, Bitzadkeinu b'mishpat, we can tell Hashem, make us righteous in judgment. I was forced. I never wanted to do this. So now getting back to our original question, we said it seems so absurd. If we just were exposed to Yiddishkeit now for the first time, and we would look at the way the Jewish year is ordered, it would just seem strange to us to have a day of judgment and then days of repentance afterwards. It just doesn't seem right. Why would I have days of repentance after the day of judgment? Let me have days of repentance before, and then finally the day of judgment. So we have a day of judgment, and then we have another one 10 days later. What's going on over here? So we have to know what Rosh Hashanah is all about. We don't say Al Chet on Rosh Hashanah. We don't say Vidui on Rosh Hashanah. We don't even daven for our own things on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day that we establish contact with ourselves. We establish contact with that deeper part of ourselves, with that purer part of ourselves, with that part of ourselves that's connected to Hashem. It's a day of establishing contact. Through the Tkiyas Shofar, but the Tkiyas Shofar permeates the whole day. It's a Yom Teruah. It's a day of Shofar. The whole day is Mesugal for this. Special Kayach for this. True, we spend the whole month before trying to get ready for this day, so we should be able to do it properly. But the job on Rosh Hashanah is not to say I'm sorry for the Averis that I did. The job on Rosh Hashanah is to establish contact with the real, 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 real essence of myself that wants to serve Hashem, that wants to do what's right, that wants every aspect of my life to reflect the will of Hashem. And we all have that part of ourselves. And we establish contact on Rosh Hashanah. Once contact is established, then we look back at our life and we say, this will leave a lot of work to do. So what follows is days of tshuva. First we focus ourselves. Where do I want to be? Who am I? What's my true identity? And once I establish that, so then I look at the way I'm living my life, go, oh boy, there's a lot that's got to change. And that's the days of tshuva until Yom Kippur. That we try to clean up our act based on this contact that we've established on Rosh Hashanah. That's a very, very important avodah for Rosh Hashanah. It's an avodah that's it's irrelevant of the past when Rosh Hashanah comes. We don't have to think about the past. We don't have to think about our avodahs. We don't have to be hard on ourselves. It's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about, what do I really want from life? What do I really, when it comes down to it, what do I really want? Rosh Hashanah is about connecting with the Kodesh HaKadoshim that's inside me. Where do I really want to be? Who do I really want to be close to? That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. When we bow on Rosh Hashanah, we bow once a day on each day of Rosh Hashanah, to have in mind that I'm subjugating myself to Hashem. I may not live my life that way. I'll deal with that after Rosh Hashanah. But today I just want to establish contact. I'm subjugating myself to Hashem. I'm a servant of Hashem. I want to establish that on Rosh Hashanah. That's who I am. That's why we try that the day should go without Averis, and it should be as perfect a day as possible, because we want to establish who we are. We'll deal with all the issues afterwards. We have Aser Simei Shuva, we have plenty of time to deal with the issues. But Rosh Hashanah is a day to establish contact, and we lose contact. We lose contact. When we're younger, we're much bigger dreamers, and we're clueless about what life has to throw our way, and we don't know about the difficulties that life throws our way, and the frustrations, and the things that we can't change, the things that we have to accept. So it's easy then to sit in Rosh Hashanah and just want the world. But when we've had enough Rosh Hashanahs, and we've had enough years, and we've had our disappointments, and we've hit our brick walls, and we felt like I tried this 10,000 times and it didn't work, it's really a hard avodah. Rosh Hashanah, we have to examine our dreams again. We can't let them go. We have to examine our dreams again. After Rosh Hashanah, we have to figure out how those dreams could fit into our life. But Rosh Hashanah, we have to reestablish contact. One of the sad things about growing up is that we just kind of leave go of the dreams that we had when we were kids. Rosh Hashanah is a day of, one second, some of those dreams were good dreams. They were about being close to Hashem. They were about being on a certain madrega. They were about doing mitzvahs the right way. They were about being a certain kind of person. Rosh Hashanah is the day I reestablish contact with those dreams. Starting Tzayim Gedalia, I spend a few days trying to figure out what changes I could make in my life to reflect my dreams. So we're standing here on Sunday morning, and Rosh Hashanah is on Monday night. I think that based on what we're saying, the thing to do for these 2 days is to make ourselves ready to establish contact. That's what it is. It's to start thinking a little bit. To start focusing a little bit, so that when the day comes, we're not caught by surprise. It's not an easy job. We have a lot of digging to do, unfortunately. We have a lot of work to do to get in there. And then when we sit there listening to the shofar, and we're in shul and so on, it's not just about making Hashem king over us, but it's about realizing that somewhere inside of us, there's a part of us that's desperate that Hashem should be king over us.